Amen. You can hear the teenagers in there. Okay, Troy, you're up. Amen. If you got a copy of God's Word with you tonight, we'll be in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 10 through 19 as we think about consent thou not. Thank you, teenagers, for being willing to come in here and listen to the message. I'm sure you'd much rather listen to Brother Chris. Thank you for coming. I really think this can help you as well as everyone in here, anyone watching online. This is a great passage of Scripture. I believe that can challenge us, help us, challenge me as a dad. It really did. So we'll be in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19 as we think of consent thou not. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." Heavenly Father, I pray now, Lord Jesus, as I preach your word, I know I'm unworthy and unable, but Lord, when I am weak, you are strong, and I pray you'd show yourself strong through me now. Lord, please help me to preach in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at consent thou not, we've got a passage of Scripture continuing in Proverbs chapter 1 here where Solomon is speaking to his son with great wisdom for all of us, for all of you teenagers, because you are in a world that is way worse now than it was when I was there. And I can't believe it, but that was 12 years ago that I was in high school. That is insane. That is a long time ago. 13 when Josh and Chris were there, though. I know, but it has changed so much, and you're in a world where temptation is at every corner. Not just teenagers, but everyone here. Everywhere we turn, even if we're at home by ourselves, and all we've got is a TV or a cell phone or a tablet, and if everyone in here is honest, we've all probably got all those things. We have temptation on every turn, at every turn. And we see here tonight a way to not give in to that. Because we need to remember that being tempted is not a sin. Because if it is, Jesus sinned. And the Bible says he did not sin. He was perfect. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted. We are tempted. You're going to be tempted. And we see here, Solomon gives us some great words of wisdom that I think can help us, can challenge us tonight. And so we got five things tonight, and I'll be done. The first thing we see in verse number 10, we see the precept, the truth, the truth we have before us. It says, "My son," remember Solomon speaking to his son, "if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And I love how the book of Proverbs so many times puts stuff so simply. It says, "My son, if someone that doesn't know the Lord or even a Christian that's not in the will of God and living in sin, if they entice you, they try to draw you in with something that is pleasurable," the Bible says, "consent thou not." Don't do what they want to do. Guess what, teenagers? You have a choice. You don't have to do what they want you to do or what they say you should do, and you shouldn't do it if the Bible says don't do it. Just because they're your friend, just because you think it's cool to do what they're doing, that we all need to take a step back and say, would this make me more like Jesus? Does it glorify Jesus? Does this point him to Jesus? If it doesn't, we shouldn't do it. So we see it says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And there's a lot of enticing things, especially for the teenagers in the room. And that's why you got to be careful who your friends are. I mean, you may want to be a part of the cool crowd, but the cool crowd may put you in a bad spot. And one thing that we need to know, even the best of us, the Bible says David was, a man after God's own heart. Didn't it say that? Never be there. As hard as I try by God's grace, I don't think I'll ever reach that mark. But even the best of us, when temptation and opportunity meet, that's a bad combination. And the end result a lot of times is failure. So the truth we had before us tonight is, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Say no. Say no. Run. Flee. Get out of that situation. Well, what are they going to think about me if I say no? Who cares? Would you rather care about what they think or what God thinks? Because we're not going to stand before them one day and answer for all things we've done. We're going to stand before the Lord. That's the precept. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And you say, well, Pastor Tyler, how in the world am I going to do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. We see number two, the preparation. The preparation. The first step to not consenting when the temptation is presented, when they put something before you that is pleasurable, that it may very well be fun at the time, because the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But how are we going to say no when we know it's not what God wants? Well, first, there must be salvation of the soul. So that's one thing I praise the Lord that a child of God now is free to do, is say no to sin. We are in a place where we have a choice. We can say no by God's grace. We were slaves to sin before we got saved. And all we could do was sin. It was our slave master. But now, as children of God, we have a choice. You can say no, but you got to be saved. That's the question everyone in the room, everyone watching online needs to ask ourselves. Do I know the Lord? I'm not saying do you know of Him, or do you go to church, or do you read your Bible? I'm saying have you been born again? Is there a time in your life where you've asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins and save your soul? And I praise the Lord. We've had, I think there's three or four here tonight that have done that recently. And what a great night to come to know the Lord. Who knows, maybe that's why the devil was fighting so hard this evening, because he knew God wanted to do something tonight. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, or you're not sure if you know Jesus, don't leave. We'd love to show you from the Word of God how you can be saved and how you can know it. So the preparation begins with salvation of the soul. There must be study of the Scriptures. Go with me to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Here we see a man that is marked not by what he does do, but by what he doesn't do. And this man who doesn't do some things is marked as a blessed or a happy, happy, happy man because he doesn't do these things. It says, Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1, blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So basically, blessed is the man who consents thou not. When temptation presents itself, whatever it may manifest in, blessed is the man who doesn't do that. Happy is the man. Because when temptation presents itself, and you as a child of God say, no, that's wrong, that dishonors God, I'm not going to do that, that pleases the Lord. And that will bring joy to your heart. And I think the Holy Spirit will say, good job, you've done right. Yeah, your friends may be mad, whoever it is may be mad, but you made the Lord happy. And I believe He'll let you know that. I believe, because he wants you to know that you've done right. So blessed is the man who consents thou not, is what we see there in verse number 1. But why? Why doesn't he do those things? Because he delights in something else. See, if you want to overcome temptation in your life, you've got to delight in something else more than you do that. And in this case, it's God and His Word. This man who doesn't do those things, it says, verse 2, but his delight, his love, his focus, everything he thinks about and he focuses on, his delight is in the law of the Lord. What does it mean to delight in something? Or whatever it is, it's something you think about constantly. I dare say Jaden delights in Rocket League. Because every time he sees me, he pokes that chest out and says, when are you going to play me in Rocket League? Nobody in here knows what that is, but you do. So he's smiling. Or whatever you delight in. My brother delights in golf. I know that because every time we talk, golf is in the conversation. What you delight in is what you think about, what you talk about, what you watch YouTube videos on, what you read about. But if we're going to be men and women that don't do the things we see in verse number 1, we've got to delight in the law of the Lord, in the Word of God. You say, well, Pastor Tyler, I struggle to read the Bible. I read a few pages, I get sleepy or I get distracted or I don't understand it. At first, honestly, if you haven't done it much, it's hard. It's hard. I mean, just like me recently. Now, there's not much evidence yet, but I've been eating a lot more healthy. And at first, it was awful. Terrible. But I'm starting to enjoy and even long for healthy things. That's what happens, especially with the Word of God. Read it. So your body, your spiritual body is used to terrible things being consumed on. It could be Facebook or social media or TV or the music you listen to or the games you play or whatever it may be. It's used to being just inundated with things of the world. You got to kind of flush all that out. Get in the Word. And over time, you will delight in the law of the Lord. And how did he delight in his law? Doth he meditate day and night? Day and night, he delighted in the law of the Lord. In the morning, he read. In the evening, he read. He delighted in the law of the Lord all day long. See, that's the definition of delight. It's on your mind all day long. No matter where you go or what you do, that's what you think about. That's what you think about. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And look what happens when you do that. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth it shall prosper. I like that there. His leaf also shall not wither. When the hot season comes, when the temptation comes, when the trials comes, that tree is planted by the river of water, which is the Word of God, and can withstand whatever that is. See, when you delight in the law of the Lord, it's like a tree getting all the nutrients it needs. So come what may, storm-wise, that tree is going to stand firm and can say no. But we can't pull from an empty well, can we? See, because the Bible is what we need to fight the devil with when temptation comes. But if we have not filled our spiritual well with Scripture, just like I always go back to me, my tests in high school, I'd pray, Lord, help me pass this test. Did I study for the test? No, I did not. My test well was empty. So why would I expect the Lord to help me pass it when I didn't study for it? Why should we expect the Holy Spirit? How can we expect the Holy Spirit to bring Scriptures back to our mind that we've not stored in our hearts? Filled our spiritual well with. But look what it says, verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Just blown with every wind, whatever it may be, with every temptation. They just this way and that way, controlled by the wind and not by the Spirit. says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, or you can even say on the day of testing, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we see study of the Scriptures. And we see in Proverbs chapter 2, just another page over probably in your Bible, in regards to that, it's verse 10, it says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, not when you read it, it's in your mind and you have the information, but wisdom here, when it entereth into your heart. See, how many times have we allowed Scripture to get to our heart? Or is it just in our ears? Or just in our lips, but it doesn't find a lodging place? See, because when something's in your heart, that's when it makes a difference. That's when, come what may, you will press on, because it's found a lodging place in your heart. So you've heard people say, well, my heart's just not in it. And when your heart's not in something, you don't give the effort or whatever it is, it may be that you think that needs to be given. But it says here, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge, the word of God, is pleasant unto thy soul. Look at this. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. That's why we don't have as much discernment and wisdom and discretion as God wants to give us, because it's not found a place in our heart. Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. What did we talk about chapter 1 there? If sinners entice thee. Verse number 13, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they're froward, and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. How do you overcome the enticing words and temptation of the world? By having the words of God in your heart. Making that what you long for. This is how we should long for that. The same chapter, verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. When you apply your heart to learn something, you will make every effort, no matter what it takes, no matter how hard it is, to learn that, to get that information, and to get whatever it is. Yea, verse number 3, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. That's like, I think of a child lost, screaming for its mother or its father. That child wants nothing more than mom or dad at that moment. That's how we need to be in desiring the Word of God. That's all, Lord, that's all we want. Lord, that's the only thing that's going to help me overcome temptation and the things of this world. It goes on to say, Verse number 4, I'll read that again. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures. Who here, if you knew there were $1 million somewhere on the property underground, would say, let's go rent some equipment, Jason. Let's dig up every inch of this place until we find it. We would do whatever it took to get that, because that's valuable. That would make us rich. That would benefit us. But nothing will benefit us more than the precious and holy Word of God. We can have all the riches the world has to offer, but if we're not wise in the Word of God, then we're nothing. So we see here the preparation, salvation of the soul, study of the Scriptures, and then service for the Savior. Not only giving them information on how to overcome temptation, but put on the breastplate of righteousness and let's learn how to serve. Service for the Savior. I'm not just saying doing good things, but share the good news of the gospel. Do good things, but with those good things, share the gospel. ORH has a great model. They go to meet a physical need to do a good thing, but to share the gospel. Hey, you want to protect your heart from the attacks of the devil and the temptation that's come? Live for God. Do what's right. Share the good news of the gospel. Then you'll know the difference between right and wrong. So preparation, salvation of the soul, study of the Scriptures, service for the Savior. But not only preparation, and here's one that is not too fun to hear, but the parting, the separation. Verse number 15. It says, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." To be honest with everyone here, sometimes there are people in our lives that are not good influences on us. That when we're around them, they entice us to sin. The Bible tells us here, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." I'm not saying cut off all lines of communication because we want them to know Jesus and we want to share the good news of the gospel with them, but don't hang around with them. Do not spend time. If someone's not making you more like Jesus and not making you want to share Jesus with others and shine the light of the glorious gospel, if somebody's bringing you down and not pulling you up to make you better for the Lord, maybe it's time you pick a new friend. That is not fun to hear. You say, "Well, we've grown up together. They're my family. I love them so much. Praise the Lord. Share Jesus with them." But it's not worth losing your testimony, losing your purity, losing your witness. It's not worth it. And I pray every person in here has got good friends. And you know how to get good friends? Don't be a follower. Be a leader that sets the example. And anyone that comes with you follows in line with the way you live. You live a godly life. That's one thing I so admire my brother for in school. He was a few years after me, but it was even worse then than it was when I was there. But by God's grace, he lived for the Lord. He set the example. And the Lord allowed him to fall in with the right young men to fall in with him. And those young men, except for a few, are still with him today. See, when you get the right friends, they'll be friends for life. They will. And years may pass. And you may not have talked to them for 10 years, but you see them again, it'll be like you saw them yesterday. Sweet spirit and joy and a bond because it's the right kind. But if you get the wrong friends, when everything falls apart, you'll never see them again. Or they'll blame you. That's what we see in the friends here. They're all about, "Let's get together. We're all going to have, let's just do it together." But when everything falls apart, you're the one going to be left hanging. We may need to separate ourselves from some things or some people. It's worth examining that. And one thing I want to let all our teenagers and everyone in here know, don't be a follower. Especially in the wrong things. I mean, follow Jesus, yes. But be an example. Be a leader. That's what Paul told Timothy, be thou an example of the believers. He was a young man. He wants all the teenagers, the Lord wants all the teenagers, and you can be a spiritual example to us adults. Just live for God. But the parting. And you see, the cool thing is, and it doesn't sound, you may have that friend that you're struggling with. I know that they're a terrible influence on me, but I don't want to not be their friend anymore. Let me tell you this, when there is parting from someone or something that causes you to sin or be tempted, when there is parting, there is peace. Because that struggle there is gone. We may need to separate ourselves, but when there is participation, it brings pain. Got to be careful who our friends are. And some of us adults. I mean, the adults have friends too, I hope. But do we have the right ones? Do we have ones that make us want to pursue the Lord more? To be better husbands, better wives, better stewards of what God has given us? So we see the precept, the preparation, the parting. Now we see the people. And this is why it's so important that we prepare ourselves and we avoid. See, because even if by God's grace we avoid, we have the right friends and we live for God, temptation's still going to come. Testing's still going to come. A lot of the scripture here pointed me back to Genesis with Joseph. Did Joseph put himself knowingly in tempting situations? No. He just loved the Lord and served his master as he should have. And in the course of him just doing what he was supposed to do, trial and temptation came. See, temptation is going to come either way. We just do a good job sometimes of putting ourselves in temptations we do not need to be in. But we see the people, verses 11 through 14 and 16 through 19, we see their pursuit is pain. Verse 11, it says, "If they say, 'Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit.'" Then we see in verse 16, "For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood." Adults or teenagers, do you have friends that their goal in life seems to be to make others suffer? I've seen it. I've been in school. The cool thing to do, was to fall in with the crowd that picked on people or made fun of people who enjoyed making other people miserable. Don't follow someone like that. Find the right friends by God's grace. Live a godly life. These people, their goal, their pursuit in life is pain. But in this way, then this is what I get causes a lot of people to hang around with them still. But their promise is pleasure. Verse 13, "We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse." And see, that's why so many people, that's why, especially in high school, and that's why I had you in here, because I had a burden for you all tonight. It's so cool to finally be a part of something. Even if it's a group of people that you know you shouldn't be around, you're finally a part of something. Well, you need to take a step back and examine, what am I a part of? What is this group doing? Yeah, it may be pleasurable now, but the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. Will not be pleasing. The pleasure will not be there forever. It will wear off. And when everything falls apart, then what are you going to do? They promise pleasure, but their product, their result, their end is perishing. Their end is perishing. Verses 17 through 19. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. What that means is, because that could be confusing if you don't watch it, that they basically say, what that basically means, it's vain to put a net in front of them. They know what wrong they're doing is, but they don't care. They don't care. And they're just going to continue in it. I know people like that today. Know a man who says, "I know I'm a sinner, I know I need to be saved, but I enjoy my sin too much." He knows what he's doing wrong, and that's a lost person for you. Those aren't people we need to follow. Goes on and says, they lay wait for their own blood, for their own, their personal blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. What they're doing's hurting them. That path is not going to help you. It's going to hurt you. It's hurting them, and it's going to hurt you if you follow them. That's why it's important that we prepare ourselves, that we separate ourselves from people that we don't need to be around. So we see there the precept, the preparation, the parting, the people. And here's one thing, another burden in my heart. I want to make a plea to parents in the room. Grandparents, parents alike. We got a tall task ahead of us. We've got two jobs. Our first job as parents is our job is to prepare our children. It's not now I will do my part, but it's not my job to prepare, to ultimately prepare any child but my own. It's my job to share the truth, expound the word, disciple, but it is mom and daddy's, specifically daddy's job, to prepare their children for when temptation comes. Because we see there, it said when in verse number 10, "My son, if sinners entice," it's not if, I forgot to say that earlier, it's not if. It says if there, but we could easily replace that with when. Temptation is going to come. Sinners are going to entice you. They're going to. Mom and dad, let's prepare them for when that time comes. Have those conversations. Say, "You're going to be tempted in this way. Here's how you handle it." But so many times today, if we're not careful, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, But mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, I'm noticing that they enjoy being a little bit more friends. I know because I get to do all the spanking after my dad gets Jasper all sugared up and sends him home. But mom and dad, it's not our job to be their friends. It's not our job to be their friends. It's our job to have hard conversations, to do things that may make them unhappy. But one day they'll look back and say, thank you. They will. I promise you that. So job to prepare them first through coaching. Through coaching. Coaching first through exposition of the Word. Mom and Dad, specifically Dad, did you know it's your job to be an expositional preacher to your family? I'm not saying a three-point outline like a preacher, but to expound the Scriptures to your household. That's your job. It's not my job. I do that when I'm behind the pulpit, but you're with them 7 days a week. I get them three times a week most weeks for an hour maximum. Some people say, I wish it was less. but to it's your job to expound the Word to them. Read the Word, but explain the Word. Help them understand the Word of God. But not only to exposition, but demonstration. If you share with them the truth of the Word, but they see you live something else, that is what has produced in the heart of so many young people, teenagers, in the generation that we had before us, because they hear the truth from mom and dad, but they see them live something else. And they say, if that's Christianity, I don't want anything, I don't want a part of it. We need to share the truth with them, but we need to live it. Are we going to be perfect? No, it's impossible. We're going to fail. But by God's grace, we should strive to be the best we can be. So job to prepare through coaching. And this is not a fun one, but through chastening. Some of the best preparation I ever got was when my dad lovingly spanked me. I know I usually make a joke of that. But I thank God for a daddy that did that. Because there may have been times in my life where I was in a situation of temptation, and to be honest, my spirit in that moment wasn't where it needed to be. But because my dad had taken me to the woodshed a few times, to be honest with you, I thought, I don't want to see the wrath of my father when I get home, so I'm not going to do that. Mom and Dad, especially Dad, it's not fun to do it, but we need to do it. Helps them understand what is wrong. Helps them understand there's consequences to their actions. There have been many times in my life where I see kids out and about living and then doing crazy things, and I'm like, man, oh man, that kid needs a spanking. And I'll call my dad and I'll say, thank you for spanking me, so that by God's grace I didn't turn out like that. Thank you. Prepare through coaching and through chastening. It's not fun, but the Bible says, if you chasten them with the rod, they shall not die. I am living proof that is true. My dad was a great father and a great disciplinarian, and when I needed chastening, guess what? I got it. And I praise the Lord for it. And I didn't die. I made it. I survived. Some people say, well, that's what's wrong with you today, Pastor Tyler. No, I thank God for it. Mom and Dad, we got to do it. We got to do it. And we got to do it consistently. And we got to be careful not to say, if you don't do it, if you do that again, I'm going to spank you. If you do that again, I'm going to spank you. If you do that again, I'm going to spank you. Well, they don't think, well, then they think, well, you're never going to do it, so I'm going to do it again. You do that again, I'm going to spank you. Got to do it. And I don't do that perfectly. I'm learning by God's grace to be better in that area. But do it. They'll learn. They're not going to like it. And I love how my dad always says, it's going to hurt me worse than it's going to hurt you. Absolutely not. Didn't hurt him worse than it hurt me. I knew what he meant, but it sure didn't. It hurt me way worse. But we got to do it, parents. We got to do it. It's our job to prepare, and it's our job to protect. What I mean by that is, mom and dad, there are just some things we don't need to allow our children to do. There's some places we don't need to allow our children to go. You say, well, that's where all their friends are going. Well, do you have any clue what's going on there? You say, well, that's no fun. No, I want to protect my baby from the temptation that I may be sending them straight to. You say, well, everybody else is doing it. I thank God that my mom and dad didn't let me go to very many things growing up. You say, well, they were rigid. They were overprotective. No. They were sheltering me. I now know what happened at a lot of those places I wanted to go to, but they wouldn't let me. I've got friends today that have problems stemming from stuff that started back then that I would have been a part of if I went. It may make them mad, mom and dad. They may not understand in the moment. But I can look back now, 12, 15 years later, and times when I was mad and I wanted to go. I wanted to go there. I wanted to do that. All my friends were. Everybody was doing it, mom and dad, but they wouldn't let me go. And God, through them, was sheltering me by His grace. There are things that people have been exposed to and done in their life because they didn't let me go that I've not had to experience. You say, well, you need to sow your wild oats. Absolutely not. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. You don't need to do that. That's what the devil wants us to think. So we'll let our kids live their life, and then when they get older, hope they come back to the Lord. No, God wants to save us young, use us young. That's why I talked about showing them how to serve God. Let them know there's a better way. See, if a mom and dad, if all they do is say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that, but then replace it with something better, then they're just going to be resent there. Let them know there's a better way. There's something better. Replace it with the Lord, something godly, something Spirit-filled. Hey, that's why I love the Bill Rice Ranch. Some parents may not be comfortable sending their kids to camps because you don't know what's going to go on there, but praise the Lord, the ranch is one place. Now, I know that's not a perfect place, but it's a place that's got God on it, and our kids can go have fun, and you can know it's Spirit-filled, and they're safe, and I thank the Lord for a place like that. But mom and dad, specifically dad, it's our job to protect our kids. They may not like it, but toe the line. I'm not saying they can't do anything, but if you don't know what's going on there, don't send them there. If they're not going to be closely supervised by an adult while they're doing it, don't send them there. You say, well, my teenage girl, she's mature. My teenage boy, he's mature. I was not mature as a teenage boy. Hey, teenage guys, we're not very smart. I've been there. You're not. You may think you are, but you're not. I love you so much, but you're not. We cannot trust our teenagers, our children, in a moment of temptation to overcome it. We need to protect them. You say, well, they're going to this friend or this family's house. They're good people. To be honest with you, there were times when I went to a place where my mom and dad, they thought it would be okay, and I was exposed to stuff there that I wish I would have never been exposed to in my entire life. Mom and Dad, you have no clue what's going on there. It's okay to protect them from that. Now, there comes a time when they get older, when they get about 57, when you can, just kidding, no. There comes a point in life where they're an adult. Now, if they're still living at home, when I was at home, even as an adult, I still lived by my dad's rules because guess what? He was paying the bills. But when they get out on their own, I mean, obviously that's up to them. But until then, mom and dad, one preacher put it this way, and it just smacked me right in the face. You got 18 summers. Now at Jasper, I've only got 13. Really, we don't have that much time. Let's saturate them with the Word of God. Pray a hedge of protection about them. Protect them from things. Protect them from things. Let them one day look back, having in the moment been furious, how dare you not let me do that, but look back and say, thank you. Thank you for not letting me go to that. Thank you for keeping me safe from that. I can look back. My mom and dad weren't perfect, but in that area, by God's grace, they did very well. And I look back and I say, thank you. You say, and if maybe you're a parent in the room, you say, well, I'll be honest with you, Pastor Tyler, I've not done very good in that area. Well, guess what? Today's a new day. Now, I'm not going to say it's not going to be hard, but by God's grace, set a new standard. Let them know you love them, and because of that, they may not get to do things. Let them know that you love them, and because of that, you're going to spank them. And Jeff's like, Daddy, why do you spank me so much? Because I love you, buddy. Bible says I have to. If I love you, Mom and Dad, let's do it. Teenagers, be careful who you hang out with. Spend time in the Word. Hey, best place to find good friends is at church. Hey, best place to find a good wife is at church. That's what I did. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying go looking for wives at church. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying best place to find godly people for your life is in the house of God and around the things of God. May God help us. If sinners entice thee, and they're going to, consent thou not. If we do nothing to prepare ourselves, guess what? In the moment, I guarantee you're going to do it. But if you build walls and hedges and avoid the people that put you that cause you to be tempted or sin, God will help you. And then when that temptation comes, the Bible says there's no temptation taking you except which is common to man. But it talks about He will with that temptation provide a way of escape. But guess what? You're not going to see that way of escape unless you've put the Word in your heart, and then God will show you that way. What did God showed that to Joseph and he ran. May God help us. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Word. I pray, Lord, that you would take my feeble efforts, my fumbling around, I pray you'd piece it together in a manner that can be easily understood and applied to our lives. Lord, please help us to be obedient to you in this area. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.